Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
Blessed Supercell Sunday to each and every one of you. Wow, what a delight it is always to gather together on one special Sunday of the year, not to have celebration in our campuses, but to gather in our cells where we are in the community. You know, Watoto Church is not just a church that goes to church on Sunday. We are a family, and we meet in homes, we meet in houses as cells to reach community right where we are, to encourage each other and strengthen each other. I know you're going to have a great day together as we share together in Supercell Sunday. I want to talk to you today about something that's on my heart. It's about knowing the times, knowing the seasons that we live in. Can we pray about this as we start? Father, I pray that you would speak to us through your word today, that you would change us and shape us into the image of Jesus so that we can be like him to be the answer in the world that we're living in, a difficult, dark, dangerous, desperate world. We thank you for your word. Bless it now. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. I want to talk to you about knowing the times. I've been memorizing scripture again, going back and taking special time to memorize scriptures. And one of the scriptures that I've been memorizing is Psalm 104. And it's about David reflecting on the creative power of God. He created everything. And then one of the verses says this. He said, he made the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows when to go down. We all live by seasons. We all live by times. There are minutes and there are hours and days and weeks and months and years, and there are decades and there are lifetimes and there are generations. Genesis chapter 8 verse 22 says, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest time, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. That's the way that God created. He created times and seasons, day and night. It'll never stop. God is faithful with the times. Genesis chapter 1 verse 14, that's the fourth day of creation out of the 6 days of creation. God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. God created the lights, the moon and the sun, to mark and separate day from night, but also to serve as signs, to mark sacred times or special times, to mark days and years. We celebrate special times as milestones. We all celebrate birthdays or anniversaries. And every year we celebrate Christmas and we celebrate Easter, as we have done again this year. Israel would honor God with very special feast days that came on certain Sabbaths and certain times of the moon cycle. So it's important for us to recognize that success in life comes when we know the seasons and we know the times that we're living in. The smart farmer knows the seasons. He knows the time. He knows when to plant and he knows when to reap in order to have success. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, there is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the sun. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time for love and a time for hate, a time for war and a time for peace. There is a time for everything. We need to know what time it is. It's important to know the time that we're living in. When David was leading the people of Israel in very desperate times, he gathered the men from all the different tribes around him. And the Bible specifically speaks about one of the tribes, the men from the tribe of Issachar. It says this of them: they were men who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. You see, when you know what time it is, you will know what you should be doing. We need people like that. People who are Christians who know the time. And because they know the time, they know what they need to do. People who hear from God for the time that they're living in. Well, what are the times that we are living in today? I know that we're living in the last times. We're living in the last days. And it's evident from so many things around us. There is an idiotic binge of selfish rebellion against God the Father, against all that is sacred, against all that is precious and true and holy. Nations are unraveling as men turn to the God of money, to the God of pleasure, to the God of corruption and lust, as they bow at the shrine of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual, queer agenda and want us all to bow at the same shrine or bow our knee. Or the mindless transgender insanity that doesn't recognize things as God made them to be and is demanding everybody to bow at the same shrine. We're living in the last days. The Bible says this, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And listen to what it says, have nothing to do with such people. This is the Bible. These are not my words. This is the words of Paul the Apostle to Timothy, his son. He says, son, there are terrible times in the last days. These are people who are, all these things are said about them. They are people who never give God a thought unless it's a swear word. They never attend worship. They don't read their Bibles. They never pray or serve others. They pursue meaning and purpose through an orgy of senseless passions, pleasure, and possessions that still leave them empty and lost, craving for more, and more never satisfies. It's the last times. We need to know the times that we're living in. People say, if I only had this amount of money, or this position in life, or I had those possessions, I would be fulfilled. But without God, without the plan and the purpose of God, you can gain all those things and still have no meaning, no purpose, no satisfaction in life. You can be empty, just a shell of a person, and lost. And there are so many people like that today. That's the times that we're living in. The Bible calls them terrible times. The world is going mad and becoming ungovernable. But there's something else that also marks the time that we're living in, the end times. The same Bible that tells us that we're living in the last days that are known as terrible times also has this to say. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even in my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. In these last days, there will be terrible times, but there will also be terrific times. It will be a time when God opens the windows of heaven and pours out the Holy Spirit, His precious Holy Spirit, like never before, and we can experience a wonderful move of God, and we can see God's people, the church, growing stronger and more healthy and more vibrant. Those are the times, these are the times that we're living in. Terrible and terrific times. Young men who see visions, they know the times and they know what they're supposed to do because God gives them a vision. Old men who dream dreams, they see what God is doing and what God wants to do. Young and old, men and women, all prophesying, or that means to speak up on behalf of God in the perilous and wicked times that we're living in, redeeming and gathering men out of the lostness and bringing them into the safeness of the ark of God. God opens the windows of heaven and pours out His Holy Spirit in terrible times. So these are terrible times, but terrific times. In light of this, how should we be living our lives? That tribe of Issachar knew the times, and they knew what they were supposed to do. Because of the times that we're living in, terrible and terrific times, what should we be doing? And I want to suggest four things that maybe we can discuss in ourselves in a few moments. Number one, we should push in to know God. Number two, we should preach the good news about Jesus. Number three, we should live holy lives. And number four, we should look for the return of the Lord Jesus. Let's talk about these four things just for a moment. I want to provoke you with these things. Because of the times that we're living in, number one, push in to know God. Learn about Him. Devour and read His Word. Spend time in prayer and communion with Him. Learn to love Him passionately. Get to know Jesus. Get to know the Father. Trust Him completely. He will never let you down. He will never abandon you. He's a good Father. Jesus is a good Savior, a wonderful Lord. John the Apostle of love said this, "We know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments." To know God means to obey God. Whoever says, "I know Him," but does not do what He commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys His word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must live as Jesus lived. We're going to talk about that in a moment, living holy lives. When you know the times you're living in and you know God, what will you do? Then you will push in to know God and to begin to live like God wants you to live like Jesus lived. Oh, how we could change our world if we would just begin to live not like the devil, but live like Jesus. We would change our world instantly. What did Jesus do? He preached the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom. He lived a holy life. So I want to talk about that as the things that we need to do. Not only do we need to push in to know God. Paul said, "Oh, that I may know Him." You know, when a husband and a wife come into their sexual relationship, they know each other. It's the most intimate relationship. God wants you to have an intimate, personal, close relationship with Himself. And when you do, you'll start living like Jesus. So the second thing is, we begin to do what Jesus did. We preach the good news about Jesus. That verse says in these terrific times that God will pour out His Spirit so that we can prophesy. What does it mean to prophesy? It means to speak up on God's behalf. We are to proclaim, we are to announce the good news about Jesus. That's what Jesus did. That was His first message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He preached the good news about the kingdom. He announced the kingdom of God. He declared that God's kingdom is the answer to our problems. What we don't need is another earthly kingdom. We need a heavenly kingdom. And we need every earthly kingdom to bow down to the heavenly kingdom and to the heavenly King. This was good news. You don't have to die in your sin. You don't have to die to it and go to hell. You don't have to live a miserable, mean life. You don't have to live a life with broken relationships and without purpose, feeling lost and empty. You don't have to live that way. Why? Because Jesus, this is the good news, Jesus, God Himself, came at Christmas time to live in a body so that that body could be nailed to a cross. And Jesus paid for the sins of the whole world. He paid for your sin. He paid for my sin, so that He could be our Savior. He would set us free from the guilt and the condemnation of our sin. That's preaching. What I'm doing, I'm preaching the good news about Jesus. We need to go out and tell people about Jesus. You can experience life to its fullest now and forever. So, in light of the times that we're living in, push in to know God. Number two, lost people need to hear the message, the good news. Jesus is the hope of the world. And number three, live holy lives. Wow, the Bible says, be holy because God is holy. To be holy doesn't just mean to be pure. It does mean that, but it means more. It means to be set apart by God from the ordinary, to be special, unique, one of a kind, so that you can serve the purposes of God. Can I say that again? This is what holiness means. Holiness means to be set apart by God as extraordinary and special, unique, so that you can serve the purposes of God. God is calling us to be set apart from the world, to be a unique, extraordinary people, set apart by God for His purposes. Jesus is holy. He's not only pure, but He's unique. He's one of a kind. He's set aside for the purposes of God. He's the holy Jesus. The Bible is called the Holy Bible, or the Holy Book. Not just because it's without fault and without flaw, it's pure, but it's because it is set apart from all other literature and all other books as the most unique, extraordinary, special book, one of a kind, designed to reveal the purposes of God. We call marriage holy matrimony because it is a unique, special relationship, one of a kind, between one man and one woman for life, set apart to fulfill God's purposes in society and in creation. It's holy. The church is called the Holy Church because it is the most special, unique, one of a kind, special, set apart institutions on the planet designed to fulfill the purposes of God. So God, when He calls us to live holy lives, is not only to live pure lives, that's a very big part of it, but it means that you are unique, you are special, you are not ordinary, you are extraordinary, and you have been chosen to fulfill the purposes of God in your life. We need to push in these days, in the times that we live, to know God and to preach the good news about Jesus, but also to live as Jesus lived, holy lives. We're to be holy because He is holy. We're not to be common and ordinary. We are to be special and unique. That's who you are. That's who I am. That's who we are called to be. And none of this is because of ourselves. All of this is because of the grace and the kindness and the goodness of God. You can step out of the ordinary into extraordinary by taking Jesus as your Lord. And then number four, not only push in to know God, not only preach the gospel, not only live holy lives, but look for the return of Jesus. Because of the times that we're living in, because of the season that we're in right now, all the signs are so clear, we need to, number four, look for the return of Jesus. as we push in to know God, as we preach the good news, as we pursue and surrender to holiness, we should look for his return. Jesus said this to those that were following him. Don't let your hearts be troubled. These are difficult times. Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you can be where I am. Jesus is coming back to put an end to the rebellion and the madness and the wickedness of this sinful world, against the rebellion to the Father. He's coming back to put things back into their proper order. He's coming back to bring the world to its place of surrender to the sovereignty and the righteous rule of Christ. He's coming back to put the wicked in their rightful place. I got good news for you. Jesus is not going to allow wicked men to misuse this precious earth forever, because this earth belongs to him. He's coming back so that we can rule and reign with him in the new heaven and the new earth. So let's get ready for what God is doing in these amazing times, these terrible, terrific times. Jesus not only told them that he was going to go away and they knew where he was going, he told them that he was going to come back, but he said to them, "You know the way to where I am." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" He was still thinking like a man. And then Jesus gave him this answer, and it's an answer for us as well. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." In these terrible times, in these terrific times, the answer is for us to come to Christ, to receive forgiveness for our sin and our rebellion, for our attitudes, for our actions, for our wickedness, for our sin, to come and to bow at the foot of the cross and say, "Jesus, forgive me, wash me, make me clean. I want to be your child." And the moment you do that, Jesus comes and he touches you and he changes you and he sets you free and he makes you his son, he makes you his daughter. So, let me just recap. We need to know the times we're living in. These are terrible times, such wickedness, but these are terrific times. God is pouring out his Holy Spirit. So, push in to know God. Push in to know God. Preach the good news. Declare and announce Jesus as Lord and Savior. Live lives set apart, holy lives. And then look for the return of Jesus. Can I pray with you right now? Father, as we gather together in ourselves today, we want to be reminded that we're coming to the end of one season and beginning a new season. 2021 will come to an end and 2022 will begin. But we seem to be living in a season when it's the end times and we need to be ready for your return. Oh, how we need to know you. Oh, how we need to declare to a lost world that Jesus is the answer. Oh, how we need to be unique and set apart for your purposes. Oh, how we need to look for your return. So I pray as we spend the rest of this day and our time together in our small groups and we discuss these things, I pray that you would draw us closer and closer to you. And I want to pray for those who are hearing this message and don't know you as Lord and Savior, that right now they would simply say, "Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life, change me, make me a new person. I give my life to you." Thank you, Lord, for being who you are, God and Savior. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. I pray you'll have a great time in your cell as you take maybe a few minutes to discuss what we've shared together in this message. And may you have an absolutely blessed new year. May 2022 be your best year ever. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@portotochurch.com.